Hi, welcome to the Times of Israel's Daily Briefing. It is Tuesday, November 22nd, and I'm Jessica Steinberg. I'm joined today by U.S. reporter Luke Tress and Tech Israel editor Ricky Ben-David, who is actually having her last podcast hurrah as tech editor. Hi, Ricky. Hi, Luke.
Hey, Jess. Hey, Luke.
Hi, Jessica.
We're going to talk today about self-driving public bus systems in Israel, a terror threat in New York City's Penn Station, Israeli offices, new Israeli offices opening up in the United Arab Emirates, and the Chabad Emissaries Convention. We will discuss all of that right after the break.
You're listening to this podcast, so I know you care about the war in Israel right now. And you've been reading the headlines. Massacre in Gaza. Genocide perpetrated by Hamas. No, by Israel. But if you've been listening to this podcast long enough, you know one thing. This stuff seems complicated. And honestly, no one can really just pick a side or decide an opinion without really learning, without really knowing what you're talking about. And that's where this podcast comes in. Check out Unpacking Israeli History, now in its sixth season. They have episodes with topics ranging from what is Hamas anyway, to whether Israel should ransom captured soldiers, and the history of Israel and its disengagement from Gaza in 2005. Unpacking Israeli History cuts through the noise and helps you understand Israel's present through understanding Israel's history. So, educate yourself. Learn the history behind the headlines. Find Unpacking Israeli History wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Ricky, it looks like self-driving public buses are in our future, and we're not saying goodbye to Egged, I'm assuming.
Not at all. In fact, Egged is very much a part of this plan. The goal of this new initiative, which we'll be rolling out in the next few months, is to consider the viability of integrating autonomous buses and shuttles into the existing public transportation systems in Israel, which we have already established has many, many issues. Israel's transportation infrastructure has lagged significantly behind other OECD countries, and big, ambitious projects like the Planned Metro have had a rough time getting off the ground, not only because of political reasons. The country has some of the worst traffic congestion, and as we experience every day, and initiatives that encourage more use of public transportation have been mixed over the years. So this particular initiative we're talking about is meant to address some of these issues, but it'll take some time. This two-year pilot led by the Ministry of Transportation and Road Safety and the Israel Innovation Authority will examine things like the business aspects of running something like this, the operational viability, the safety, logistics, and of course, the costs. Half the budget is assumed by Israel, by the Israel Innovation Authority, and then the companies are also funding part of it as an incentive to keep going. They will also look at advancing the right regulation, the country will, to promote additional initiatives like this as part of a wider plan with a 61 million shekel budget for more autonomous public transportation in Israel. So for this initiative, we have four consortiums of public transportation companies and tech startups in Israel and abroad. They're getting this off the ground. What is interesting about this is that they seem to want to cover all the regions. So we have groups led by Egged, which has the largest network of inner city routes, and Dan, which operates in the Gush Dan area, along with Metropolitan, which is in the south, and Nativ Express, which is based in the north, and they run bus routes there. And each of them will be working with several tech companies from Israel and from abroad, including France, Turkey, Norway, and the US, to begin piloting these autonomous buses. In the first phase, the groups will operate in closed, contained sites and then slowly progress to running these routes on public roads over the course of the 2 years. And the groups that successfully implement and complete the pilot will be offered contracts to expand their services and run these specific operations across Israel. So there's high hopes for this project.
What do these self-driving buses do that will have such an effect on the horrific traffic situation that we have in the country?
Right. So the stated goal is kind of lofty, right? It's going to take more than this to alleviate some of these issues. But the idea is to offer just a better customer or a better user experience, if you will, like borrowing some terms from the tech industry, just a better experience, and also addressing a minor goal is to address the shortage of drivers that we have in Israel as well.
Got it. Okay. So basically, we're looking at something that is way down the line. Hope springs eternal. Thanks, Ricky. Luke, you were reporting on a story of what seems to be an anti-Semitic terror attack in Penn Station, the hub for the Long Island Railroad, for New Jersey Transit and Amtrak. Any more information about this attack, whether it was definitely anti-Semitic in nature?
Yeah, so late Friday night, around midnight, the police in Penn Station picked up two guys. The threat wasn't in Penn Station, but they were caught there coming into the city. One of them had tweeted a bunch of hate content, including something about shooting up a synagogue and other anti-Semitic stuff. The police found on them, they found a large hunting knife. And then in a follow-up investigation, they found an illegal pistol and a 30-round magazine. And a Nazi armband was with the weapons. So it was not an idle threat. It was a serious threat to the Jewish community. But he had tweeted other hate content, but it appeared that he was targeting the Jewish community in this attack, this planned attack. He wasn't threatening a specific synagogue, but it was kind of a general threat to Jewish communities. So he and one other person were arrested, turned over to the FBI. The police said Saturday that everything was clear. Now, in response, the governor is stepping up Jewish protection at synagogues and Jewish sites around the state, at least through Hanukkah. The mayor gave a press conference today and said, this was a very serious threat. This was not an idle threat. The main suspect does appear to have schizophrenia or some kind of mental health problems, but this was a very serious, violent threat. He was armed with an illegal gun, a lot of ammunition.
What was really different about this threat as opposed to other anti-Semitic threats that you've reported on recently in the New York area?
So this was a white supremacist threat. There hasn't been too much white supremacist threats against the Jewish community in this area recently. But what this illustrates is that there's really threats to the Jewish community coming from all angles. So earlier this month in New Jersey, right across the river, an Islamist sympathizer or extremist was threatening synagogues online also. This was about 2 weeks ago. All the synagogues in New Jersey were put on alert. Also in New York, they were put on alert. So you have these guys on the far right. This other person is an Islamist person. Earlier this year, someone went on a rampage in New Jersey, critically injured some Jewish people. They all survived, thankfully, but that person didn't even appear to have any ideology. Yes, yesterday in Brooklyn, a big group of Black Hebrew Israelites, which is an anti-Semitic group, held a big march in the city. They were chanting, it sounded like, "We are the real Jews." So there's just these threats coming from all different directions, like left, right, Islamist, white supremacist, all kind of swirling around the Jewish community in this area at this time. And there have been deadly attacks before. There was Muncie in 2019. Someone killed a person in a rabbi's home. Around the same time, two Black Hebrew Israelite shooters shot up a kosher grocery in New Jersey. And so these two recent threats were both caught beforehand because they posted about it online. But it seems like sooner or later, there's a good chance someone will get through and do some deadly attack. And so this is against the backdrop. There's just a lot of anti-Semitic incidents in New York City recently. Most of them are not deadly or severely violent. Some are pretty violent, but they're most kind of like harassment, small assaults, stuff like this. So there's this kind of stream of minor incidents happening almost every day. Something gets reported. Last month, there were 20 reported anti-Jewish hate crimes in New York City, and many more probably don't get reported. So there's just this kind of background of constant small anti-Semitic incidents happening. And then now these big threats have been popping up to this month, and then this attack in Lakewood, New Jersey earlier this year.
Okay. All right. Thanks for that, Luke. We're going to take a quick break. When we're back, Ricky will tell us about Israeli offices in the United Arab Emirates.
I got married this Monday in the middle of a war.
You are not a soldier anymore. You are 50 years old. What is the matter with you?
It's like a couple of kilometers from here. My friend has a 4x4. Let's just go cut across the fields and go get him.
Israel Stories, Wartime Diaries. Voices that try to capture slivers of life right now.
And he told me, take with you a sleeping bag and a tent and just go.
I texted him on, like, after I was told that he was killed.
From their eyes, I was a traitor.
Everybody needs their, like, blankie, their teddy bear, something to make them feel safe.
I'm just another grandfather looking after his grandchild while his son is off at war.
These children of Hamas now will be the killer of my children.
I desperately wanted to talk about sex during my eulogy for Ido.
Everyone has to choose to be optimistic because we don't have room for pessimism.
Check out Israel Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so we're back. Ricky, I know that these are not the first, but they are the latest in a growing list, correct, in the UAE? Who do we have this week?
Right, correct. So late last week, we reported that two Israeli companies, big ones, will be opening new offices in the United Arab Emirates as part of a government-funded innovation program. We're talking about investment firms OurCrowd and Liquidity Capital, which also developed its own tech to lead investment decisions. They are taking part in a $545 million government incentive program to pull in global companies, companies from across the world in sectors like ag tech, IT, health tech, and fintech, and offer them the opportunity to expand their intellectual property in the UAE and work on regional solutions first and then expand internationally. So this program offers funding and logistical support for companies to open or expand local offices, and both OurCrowd and Liquidity Capital will be opening up tech hubs and offices in Abu Dhabi. In OurCrowd's case, it's expanding its existing operations there. And they will be joining 40 companies worldwide that have participated in this government program in the UAE since the launch of the program in 2020. Both OurCrowd and Liquidity have had a respective presence in the Emirati capital. Soon after the Abraham Accords were signed in 2020, OurCrowd opened an office, recruited a local head of operations, and has been active in getting joint initiatives off the ground. And Liquidity Capital that same year has been active in the UAE and set up a $100 million debt investment fund with a Dubai-based company. So there's a lot going on here in terms of Israel-UAE ties. Just this Monday, Israel's largest hospital, the Sheba Medical Center, said it signed a deal to develop health technologies alongside scientists in the UAE, as our colleague Nathan Jaffe reported on Monday. And all this comes amid a global downturn. We see economic turbulence in the tech sector, the mass layoffs in the tech industry, including, of course, in Israel, and the hard times ahead, which will shape the tech and business coverage over the next year.
Do we have a sense of how many people are staffing these offices? How many, like, Israelis are in Abu Dhabi right now?
Their local operations are very much led by Emiratis, by staff that's on the ground, and then they welcome the Israelis as well. So I think with Liquidity Capital, I think they mentioned something about a dozen people there. OurCrowd, it's also an ongoing operation. It remains to be seen, like, how much back and forth these people are going to do.
Right. At least it's a shorter flight than, you know, to Silicon Valley.
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks for that, Ricky. And finally, Luke, you have a piece about the Shluchim Convention. Shluchim is the common pronunciation of Shlichim, the term used for Chabad, ultra-Orthodox emissaries. Tell us about that. What was that like?
So the Chabad Hasidic movement, they're based in Brooklyn in Crown Heights. And as I'm sure most of our listeners know, they're very involved in Jewish outreach to all Jewish people, not necessarily Hasidic outreach, but really reaching out to Jewish people everywhere. And part of that strategy is sending these shluchim, these emissaries, to all different areas, all across the U.S., college campuses, and countries around the world. So this week in New York, they have an annual convention for all the shluchim from around the world to come to New York. It was canceled for the last 2 years because of COVID. So they did it this week. So it was kind of a big homecoming event for everyone. There was over 5,600 rabbis in attendance. So the shluchim, they go out as couples, husband and wife. They go to these places. They set up a Chabad center there for Jews or traveling Jews to come to and have a place. So thousands of them in New York, connecting with each other, kind of. It's kind of like a networking event for them to connect. Last night, they had their big convention, which is kind of the culmination of this week. So there's over 6,000 people in this big convention center in New Jersey. Some speakers, some videos, lots of music. They dedicated 36 new Torah scrolls at once for communities that don't have Torah scrolls, which they said was the most Torah scrolls ever finished at once. So 36 scribes finishing them at once, and of 36 is as a multiple of 18. It's an auspicious number in Judaism. The chief rabbi, Ashkenazi rabbi of Israel, David Lau, spoke there. He said some stuff that liberal Jews aren't going to be happy about. He said he wants to get rid of the grandchild clause in the law of return, which the right wing wants to do in Israel, to kind of move Israel to more like Torah law, halakhically Jewish law. And he expressed some opposition to conversions. The Ukraine war was another big topic. So the Rebbe of the Chabad movement is from what is now Ukraine, and they kind of after the Soviet Union fell, they were kind of key to reestablishing Jewish life in Eastern Europe. So there's, I think, 177 Chabad couples operating in Ukraine, and they've been really instrumental for the Jewish community in responding to the war. And then there's also Chabad couples in Russia who have been coming under pressure recently. So there were emissaries from both Ukraine and Russia there last night. Some of them were featured speakers. And it was a dinner, speeches, music, and then at the end it was just a huge party.
Separate dancing.
This was all men at this event. Of course, there was heavy security also because of these threats that we were talking about before, but there was no like feeling of tension there. It was just a very, very big kind of gathering and celebration mostly for all these shluchim from around the world.
Thanks, Luke, and thanks, Ricky, for being on today's Daily Briefing. Ricky, do you want to say something before we close out?
Yes, Jessica, it's been an absolute pleasure working with you and being with you and Amanda on the podcast and everyone else, and updating our readers and listeners on what's been happening in the tech beat. We have the wonderful Sharon Rebel, who joined us this week and is a great addition to our TOI team and whose work I'm certain our readers will enjoy.
And we will obviously feature her on the Daily Briefing as well. So thank you for that, Ricky. In the meantime, good luck with your new responsibilities, and we will be back tomorrow with another Daily Briefing. So in the meantime, happy listening. Have yourselves a good day.
Thanks for listening to the Times of Israel's Daily Briefing. And thanks to our producer, Gilad Brownstein, and to Gili Amar for this out-of-this-world music.
You can find us daily wherever you find your podcasts.
And on our mothership, timesofisrael.com. Like what you hear? Consider rating us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify to spread the word.
And be sure to check out our weekly feature, Times Will Tell, released every Friday. Until next time,
Shalom.